These gardens don't just happen. They usually require a lot of hard work, and the one at number 32 Windsor Gardens was no exception. Mr. Brown had to mow the lawn twice a week, and Mrs. Brown was kept busy weeding the flower beds. There was always something to do. Even Mrs. Bird lent a hand whenever she had a spare moment. It was Mrs. Bird who first suggested giving Jonathan, Judy, and Paddington each a piece of the garden. "It will keep certain bears out of mischief," she said meaningly, "and it will be fun for Jonathan and Judy as well." Mr. Brown agreed it was a very good idea, and he marked out three plots at the far end of the lawn. Paddington was most excited. "I don't suppose there are many bears who have their own garden," he exclaimed. Early the next morning, all three set to work. Judy decided to make a flower bed, and Jonathan had his eye on some old paving stones. Paddington didn't know what to do. In the past, he had often found that gardening was much harder than it looked, especially when you only had paws. In the end, armed with a jar of Mrs. Bird's homemade marmalade, he borrowed Mr. Brown's wheelbarrow and set off to look for ideas. His first stop was a stall in the market, where he bought a book called How to Plan Your Garden by Lionel Trugg. It came complete with a large packet of assorted seeds, and if the picture on the front cover was anything to go by, it was no wonder Mr. Trugg looked happy, for he seemed to do most of his planning while lying in a hammock. By the end of the book, without lifting a finger, he was surrounded by blooms. Paddington decided it was very good value indeed, especially when the owner of the stall gave him 2 pence change. Mr. Trugg's book was full of useful hints and tips. The first one suggested that before starting work, it was a good idea to close your eyes and try to picture what the garden would look like when it was finished. Having walked into a lamppost by mistake, Paddington decided to read another page or two, and there he found a much better idea. Mr. Trugg advised standing back and looking at the site from a safe distance, preferably somewhere high up. He knew just the spot. By the time Paddington reached the building site near the Browns' house, it was the middle of the morning, and the men were all at their tea break. Placing his jar of marmalade on a wooden platform for safekeeping, he sat on a pile of bricks for a rest, while he considered the matter. There was no one about, and there was a ladder nearby. Mr. Trugg was quite right. The Brown's garden did look very different from high up. But before he had time to get his breath back, Paddington heard the sound of an engine starting up. He peered through a gap in the boards. As he did so, his eyes nearly popped out. On the ground just below him, a man was emptying a load of concrete on the very spot where he had left his jar of marmalade. Paddington scrambled back down the ladder as fast as his legs would carry him, reaching the bottom just as the foreman came around a corner. "Is anything wrong?" asked the man. "You look upset." "My jar's been buried," exclaimed Paddington hotly, pointing to the pile of concrete. "It had some of Mrs. Bird's best golden chunks in it, too." "I won't ask how your jar got there," said the foreman, turning to Paddington as his men set to work clearing the concrete into small piles, "or what you were doing up the ladder." "I'm glad of that," said Paddington, politely raising his hat. Suddenly, there was a whirring sound from somewhere overhead, and to Paddington's surprise, the platform landed at his feet. "My marmalade!" he exclaimed thankfully. "Your marmalade?" repeated the foreman, staring at the jar. "Did you say marmalade?" "That's right,"